So welcome, everyone. Today, I have the great honor of talking with my dear colleague here, Michael DeLeo, at the NATO Association of Canada. Today, we're going to be talking about internships and what it's like interning here at the NATO Association of Canada. So, Michael, over the past 4 months, you've had the opportunity to serve as program editor here at the NATO Association of Canada. What would you say is the best advice that you can provide to anyone who perhaps is interested in pursuing an internship with us?
Thanks, Magdalena, by the way. My advice would be to map out a clear set of priorities. So you should know what you want to achieve, you know, the way you have to schedule everything, the way you should organize yourself. It's good to be motivated as an individual, but also you have to be willing to work with your team. And this is probably one of the greatest assets that the NATO Association has, is we just have such a great team of motivated people who just want to achieve so much, who are willing to help each other. You can't ask for a better team here.
I definitely agree with you. I want to mention that I've been here at the NATO Association of Canada over the past year and a half, and every 4 months I see fresh talent walk through those doors, and the ambition, the drive, the determination, and the work ethic of these young kids is truly impressive. So I can certainly say that as someone who's served as a podcast, Canada's NATO podcast contributor, outreach coordinator, project manager, and a former program editor of Global Horizons for 2 terms. And now I'm currently serving as a project manager, Canada's NATO podcast contributor, and program editor of Global Horizons. I can say that the team that we have here is truly remarkable. And anyone who's interested in pursuing an internship should definitely work on developing strong leadership skills, strong project management skills, and a strong work ethic when it comes down to working on various projects with a team. So with that in mind, what would you say to someone who perhaps wants to pursue professional writing but is not able to come in Monday to Friday here at the association? I know we have a junior research fellowship program that we provide, and we have a number of program editors that are responsible for managing and editing the work that's submitted by junior research fellows. Can you touch on your experience managing the different junior research fellows that you had throughout your term here?
Yes, so the NATO Association does offer a junior research fellowship. So essentially, you agree to work for a specific program, so it would be Expanding Community, Canada's NATO, Arc of Crisis, and you submit over the course of a few months a total of about 12 to 14 articles, a minimum of 12, on your topic. So you can write about anything related to international relations, and usually it will be connected with your specific program. So you'll be working closely with your program editor. You'll type out your article, you'll send it to them, they'll give you their recommendations, edit a few things, and then it'll go through the final approval process, after which it is posted on our website. So definitely consider that if you're interested in working, if you're working as a diplomat in the future. It's really a great help because you learn the basics of research, you expand on the knowledge you already have, you obviously learn so many great things. And it's great to have your name out there to publish. And we also offer positions here as a research analyst. So instead of coming in full-time, you're submitting articles at your own pace, hopefully about once a week, maybe every 2 weeks or so. You contribute to the NATO Association's wealth of knowledge. So we're always happy that people are willing to contribute their skills here, and everybody has something to offer.
Absolutely. And in addition to releasing publications every week, in addition to writing articles and conducting interviews, which then are published, you're also provided with an opportunity to serve as a project coordinator, project manager of a major conference, event, roundtable, or project that you want people to attend. So I think that's highly beneficial for anyone who wants to gain strong leadership skills, strong teamwork skills, and also a strong foundation when it comes to managing a huge conference. I can say that throughout my year and a half here, I've I've served as a project manager and project coordinator of over 32 major events, roundtables, conferences. And the last conference that we had, as you know, took place on the 11th and the 12th of October at the Weston Harbor Castle. Our 62nd ATA General Assembly was a huge success. And I can say that as a result of serving here at the association and as a result of managing so many projects, this one big conference was definitely a success as a result of all of the previous experience that I gained here at the association. And in addition to serving with you as a project manager, your project management skills are beyond exceptional, but mostly our team, the team that we had here, contributed significantly. So I definitely want to thank all of the volunteers that we had come and help us out, along with the program editors and research analysts who were kind enough to assist the day of the conference on both days.
It's such a cliche, but at the end of the day, we really couldn't have done anything without our team members. As you said, we had research analysts who came in, who contributed. We had volunteers who took time out of their day to help out. And you really need all these people if you want to have a successful event. So we're grateful. And I hope that everybody gained something good out of it. I know I definitely did. I'm sure everybody else here at the NATO Association did. And we're happy that it just went well. We're grateful for that.
Michael, our 62nd ATA General Assembly was a huge success thanks to the help of our president, Julie Lindhout, help from our vice president, Doug Knight, the work that our corporate development officer, Robert Baines, contributed, and the work that all of our team members put into the conference overall. So we touched on some of the work that we do here at the association, but in addition to that, I also want to touch on some of the skills that are necessary to have when it comes down to successfully serving as an intern here at our association. A few skills that I think are essential to any intern who wants to, you know, contribute significantly to the association consists of effective time management skills. There are so many different opportunities, different events you'll get invited to, different people you might want to interview, different articles that you want to release. But you have to make sure that you manage everything effectively. You see my calendar, it's always full. But I plan my day from the very start to the very end, and my week, a week in advance. So I know exactly what I'll be doing, what meetings I have to attend, what events I'll be attending, what interviews I'll be conducting throughout the week, what podcasts I'll be releasing. And that all comes down to effective time management. In addition to making sure you're organized and you manage your time effectively, I think another skill that's essential is, again, we touched on this, teamwork, leadership, having the ability to lead your team. So that's something that is fundamental to anyone who wants to contribute as a project manager, is having good leadership skills and the ability to delegate tasks effectively to the members of your team. Lastly, a third skill I want to touch on is effective public speaking. That's something that oftentimes people don't necessarily have the experience doing, but I feel that the more you do public speaking, the more you engage in it, the better you become. So I think it's so beneficial for people to engage in professional development workshops. And I want to say that when we had our conference, you went up there and you spoke in front of 400 people. So that is something that, you know, takes weeks and months to achieve. So for those tuning in today, are there some tips you can provide to someone who is perhaps interested in pursuing and succeeding in public speaking?
Yeah, just regarding the conference, so I was grateful because my president, Julie Lindhout, came and asked me if I wanted to introduce one of our speakers, Professor Dr. Julian Lilly French. And I was grateful for that because I even went to him and I asked him what he wanted me to say, and he was very cordial. He's very helpful, so I appreciate that. It's exactly what you said, Magdalena. Just keep practicing. Don't be afraid to make mistakes because you're just it's going to happen. So don't let that be discouraging. Just keep practicing. Just get out of your comfort zone and always look for ways to improve. So as Magdalena said, we did have professional development workshops, and everybody hosted a seminar. during which they talked about a specific topic, but more importantly, they developed the skill of having a presentation, or not developed so much as, you know, practice the skill of having a seminar, speaking in front of people, asking tough questions. It's really a great thing that we had here, so I'm thankful that we had that as well. And a big shout out to Shah Lalapet, who had the idea to host these professional development seminars. They went very well.
And everyone benefited tremendously as a result of engaging and taking part in these professional development workshops. So, Michael, we pretty much covered everything that I wanted to cover in this podcast. Another thing I wanted to touch on is, now coming back to the office, it's a new year. We're in 2017. We have a new team of program editors who just started today. And the best advice that I can provide to all of the members of our team here who just joined is to not be afraid to ask for advice and not be afraid to ask former program editors for support. I know when I started as a program editor of Global Horizons, my mentor provided me with a brief overview of the program itself, along with different ways to do a podcast interview. But I took the initiative to look at the program, come up with questions, ask Julie for advice. I asked Doug Knight for advice. I asked Robert for advice. And everyone here is extremely helpful. They care about us. They genuinely care about us. And that's definitely something that's highly beneficial, is having people that you can turn to when it comes down to asking for advice or for help. So definitely, I'm more than happy to assist or help any of the program editors. Every 4 months, I mentor the new team of program editors. Last term, I did a full mentorship program where I showed each and every one of our program editors how to podcast, how to use the different softwares. So I encourage everyone to do interviews, at least try podcasting. Look at your program, see what it is you want to do for your program, what contributions you want to contribute. Think about what conferences, what events, what roundtables you might be interested in managing while serving your time here. And don't hesitate to ask people for advice who have previously successfully managed projects, because oftentimes they're more than happy to provide you with the advice that you need. And with that being said, Michael, again, it's a complete pleasure to speak with you. It's nice to be back in the office, and it's nice to see a friendly face back here at the association. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you for listening.